Hey, what's up? It's your girl Sequoia, and welcome to Love Chronicles, the special edition of the Commas podcast, where we explore the intersection between business and love.
Welcome to Commas.
Commas is all things tech.
You see culture and technology coming together.
Life hacks.
The practicality right now in the inefficiency of the internet of buying and selling stuff is extraordinary.
Entrepreneurship advice.
I think the first thing is you got to understand your business inside out.
Love and tech.
I've almost reduced dating to kind of this very momentary snap of a person.
It's going to be a fire show.
I have yet to see something these days that's truly differentiated.
New advice and new inspiration every show.
This really is about the next generation of creatives going faster, further than we did.
Now let's start stacking them commas.
We have an Alfred Edmond Jr. from Black Enterprise, and I am Sequoia, and I am super excited to be talking to you, Alfred, because you've had a long-standing relationship, right? Tell us a little bit about what happened in the beginning to your transition to now.
With regard to relationships?
Yeah.
You mean my third marriage?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been married 3 times. And what you learn something with every marriage. Now, let me say, nobody gets married to get divorced. My first marriage, the big lesson was I had to learn not to differ between loving and judging. I'm still really great friends with the mother of my 3 older children. We're very close. We never stopped being close. But it was over time. We got married young. I was 27. She was 26.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like different stages of my life when I got married. And you're different stages of maturity. So that was in my late 20s. And I can look back and say that while we loved each other, and I only speak for myself. I never try to speak for the other person. I still put being judgmental over being loving, meaning there were things that you can't love and judge at the same time. I'm a man of faith. I'm a Christian. You can judge or you can love. You can't do both. And if you can't be with the person that you love without judging them, if you really are like, no, you should do this and you should do that. If you don't do this, you don't do that. You're not a good person. Or you're not a good person to me. You're failing me in some way. Then you may love them and you shouldn't marry them. And so when I look back on the decisions we made as young people, I think about the ways I would do things now with the benefit of new understandings. I don't know if it would have turned out any different, but I think I would have been a better husband. I think I always said I was a much better father than I was a husband. Now, I'm speaking as someone who is raised by a divorced single mother, who didn't see a lot of examples of helping
marriages.
Even though as someone who didn't see it, since I was 12, I longed to be in a loving relationship. Mm-hmm. Second marriage was a reflex off the first marriage.
Was that a rebound?
No, reflex. Meaning,
tell me more.
As the son of a divorced single mother, the oldest son of a divorced single mother, who had that feeling of failure when my first marriage didn't work, then it was guilt. It was guilt driven. And I was like, I need to find a relationship so my kids can see me in a healthy relationship. Got married way too fast.
Okay.
And that's, again, I never talk about it from the standpoint of what the other person told them did or didn't do right. I really shouldn't have married as quickly as I did. And it was pretty apparent shortly after we got married that we shouldn't be married.
How quickly did you marry?
I knew her before we started dating. We started dating in July. We were engaged by October. We were married by the following
year. So less than a year?
Oh, definitely less than a year.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And at that point, that was 20 years later. I was 42. So again, these are different stages of my life.
Yep.
Divorce, remarry, but see, it's another thing. My third and most recent marriage, I married a business partner.
Let's talk about it.
Well, and this is an example of, we did love each other. Let me say this, just being in love with each other is not enough. That's not enough of a foundation for getting married, if you want it to last forever.
Mm-hmm.
It may be great for a good relationship, maybe, because a good relationship doesn't necessarily have to last forever. But to me, there's no point in getting married if the goal is not to stay together forever. So we were business partners at the beginning. Then we became, an exclusive relationship together for 6 years. Then we got married.
Let's back up. So when you guys were business partners, how did you know to make that transition that wouldn't hurt the business?
Well, we were in a business that ironically was about relationships.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, we co-wrote a book together called Loving in the Grown Zone. So my co-author is Zara Green. Still proud of the work that we did. And I would still say it was the healthiest relationship that I had up until that point. So it wasn't that it was a bad relationship. It was actually a good relationship for the most part. But at some point, we weren't happy together anymore. Now, the good thing is that there was far less, turmoil around it because we were both more mature. She had been married before, too. So this was the case where we went our separate ways, but it wasn't the same type of turmoil and drama. And we didn't have children together. It was, again, a different stage of life. I was in my mid-50s when we got married. Well, I'm losing track. Maybe I was like the sixth.
Block. Okay.
So it's who you are in your 20s, who you are in your 40s, and now mid-50s. But it was a different set of circumstances. So the challenges of that marriage ending, while we wouldn't say it was unemotional.
Of course.
But it wasn't, it was not like,
Did you remain friends after that marriage? Because you had already started a business partnership, so you had a friendship going into.
If I'm being honest, I would say we remained friendly. The only friend that the mother of my children, that's my friend. I am her friend. She remarried and divorced since we married and divorced. We kind of made a commitment. I know I made a commitment on my end that no matter what happened, you're the mother of my children. No matter what happens, no matter how you feel about me, I'm going to love and be your friend. And you can count on me no matter what.
What do you think about people who remain friends who don't have children after the marriage? Do you think that that creates a lingering situation for the next partner? Like, what do you think?
See, a lot of that depends on how you define friendship.
Okay.
I mean, my current significant other, it's not a secret relationship, but we're not like broadcasting it. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing, just think about social media. Because my third marriage happened in the age of social media, and my previous two marriages didn't, and because my third wife and I were co-authors and business partners together before we got married, that was a public relationship, in terms of the social way. That was different from every previous relationship and maybe different from every relationship I have on it going forward. But what I would say is my friendship with my first wife, like you said, was in part because we had the co-parent.
Okay.
I think if you're going to be friends with someone you've divorced, you have to figure out what is the foundation of that friendship if it's not the form of marriage.
That's good.
If you really can legitimately be friends, here's how you know you can legitimately be friends with them. That you can both be open and honest about having been married in the past, and whoever else comes in your life can legitimately not be threatened by that friendship. And if they can't be, then in my opinion, if my current significant other said, listen, I can't deal with you being friends with your ex, you can't be my friend. I mean, no hard feelings, no. But that relationship is over. It didn't loop yet. And your friendship, my friendship with you, can't be to the degree of intimacy of just because we were married or we were former lovers or whatever. And so, I don't know if you get a hard and fast rule.
Yep.
But I think you got to decide what is the value to the degree that you're divorced and that marriage is over, which means that relationship is over. It depends on how you move forward your life. But I would not have the most important relationship is the current relationship to the degree that you're invested in that current relationship for the long run.
Totally.
If you're just dating, that's different. If you're just dating, they can't be telling you who your friends could be and you can't talk to your ex or whatever.
Yep.
But, my most recent marriage, we don't have any children together. We don't, I'm still close with her family, but I don't have any real reason to be talking to her on a regular basis other than to hope she's doing well.
So with you guys having a business together, did you have to end the business after the marriage? How did that work?
No, well, the business was, I wouldn't say it ended. It had run its course before the marriage.
Okay.
So, it was parallel, but not, it had pretty much run its course before the marriage.
Okay. All right. And then with the kids, how are they adapting to the transition?
Well, my three older kids are from my first marriage. So all they know is that, they all they care about is that happening. Mm-hmm. My fourth child came with my second marriage, even though I don't have a relationship with her mother anymore, I still have a relationship with her. And she's extremely close with, you know, her, which she considers her siblings. I mean, they become from different parents, but they see themselves as siblings. So all they care about is,
yeah,
is daddy happy? And, you know, like, you know, they already know he's been married.
Like, we've seen that.
He may get married again. He may not. And so, you know, it's interesting territory because I am one of those people that did not, never thought of myself as being married one time. I always thought that I would get married once and that would be it. But when I look at my family history, when I look at what I was exposed to in my track record, I was raised in a divorce, a household of a divorced single mother. There are marriages that are intact in my family, but I can't act like that's the dominant model in both sides of my family. There are some great examples of long-lasting, like my grandparents on my paternal side, great marriage that left, you know, one or two, but they married 70 years until my grandmother died. The premise of the book that I wrote with Zahra Green, is Loving in the Grown Zone, was about exploring what it takes to create relationships. It wasn't about getting married and being happy forever after. No. It wasn't a marriage book. It was, how do you navigate relationships to go into them in the safest and healthiest way possible and get out of them in the safest and healthiest way possible? It's not a marriage book. It's not a Be in Love Forever book. It's to the degree that navigating relationships can be a very costly thing for you emotionally, financially, you know, and at this point I had been through two marriages and the second one was very difficult. I was really interested in, okay, what do I wish I had been taught when I was 12 or 13 years old about building healthy relationships besides she's cute, she thinks you're cute, sparks fly, you're in love with each other, go forward, you know. Loving in the Grown Zone, we described as you had a driver's manual to learn how to drive. You need a lover's manual to learn how to love. Because even though you're born with the capacity to drive, everybody's born with it. Most people are. That is when you know how to drive.
That's very true.
And you're born with the capacity to love, but that is when you know how to love. So it was like, how do we write this? And again, this is before we got married. It was like, how do we write this manual so that whether you get married or not, at least you're putting the least amount at risk. You're making wise decisions. You don't meet somebody, fall in love again, and marry them in 6 months just because it just feels like the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, or you don't just quit your job, or you don't just loan the person. You know, there's things that you don't do because it's not healthy to do without these guardrails to make good decisions. And that way, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, and the truth is, most relationships are not going to lead to marriage forever.
Very true.
They're just not.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that so you can get in them in a healthy way, stay in them for only as long as they are healthy, and then when it becomes unhealthy, having the courage to say, this is as far as it can go. And of course, we live in a society that tells us, you never quit. You never, you know, you go, you just go. If you're married, I think there's some merit into trying to make it work. But if you're not married and you've been together with someone 8 years and in the ninth year is not working anymore.
Oh, I'm not with you.
And women,
we don't get married.
But I'm saying there are people who, let's say it was good for 8 years and then the ninth year wasn't so good, but you don't quit right away. But especially women, you're kind of taught, well, you just stay.
That's a problem though. Like a lot of women just stick around, no commitment, just like hanging around, hoping for the best.
But I'm talking about the cases where it was good.
Oh, there was. Okay, good.
It was good for a while. You know, it's good. You know, you were happy, he was happy, or the other person was happy, regardless of gender or sexual orientation. And to have the courage to say, either we're going to work our way through it, or to say, you know,
it's
okay, and it's not going to make you a bad person, it doesn't make me a bad person. I don't look at it, like I said, I'm still friends with my first wife. I don't have a relationship with my second ex. And my third marriage ended so recently that the jury is still out because it ended as the pandemic began.
Okay.
So if the jury's still out as to what the long-term
relationship
is going to be. But I don't have anything negative to say about other than it was good while it was good. And when it wasn't good, it should end.
Yeah. Okay, last tip for the people watching, especially men, from your book, what would you give from that GPS? Give two stops that they should make on that journey to love.
It's important that you discern the difference between loving people for what, for who they, there's loving people for what they can do for you, what they look like. That's one kind of love. And then there's your ability to love them for who they are, unconditionally. The first two things are going to change.
Yep.
The main reason people get together and decide that they're in love is great sex, physical attractiveness, or financial, either capability or possibility. All three of those things will change over time, no matter what. Not because the person's a horrible person. No matter how fine you are at 27, you ain't going to look at the way of 37, you ain't going to look at the way of 47. No matter how you may have a rich and powerful position as a CEO of a major company in your 30s, by the time you're 50, you may not be in a rich and powerful position. So all the things that society tells us we should look for in a mate, she's fine, she's powerful, she's got six-pack abs, look, she got the booty, she got all those things which are legitimate attractors. We call them attractive relationship attractors. They are legit only as attractors. Then you got to look at relationship sustainers. Sustainers are honesty, authenticity, loyalty, trustworthiness, kindness, compassion. If a person is like that at 27, they're going to be like that at 87. Those go to the core of who that person is. And if you can't see past the attraction, you can't look at somebody and see them at, you know, all, you know, I married them. So, of course, I think all three of the women that I've married as gorgeous women. I still think they're beautiful, beautiful women. But if I look at that and that changes for some reason, I give you an example. Dude that plays Superman, Christopher Reeve. He was the handsome, rich Hollywood actor that played Superman. Then he fell off a horse and was paralyzed to the neck down the rest of his life. And his wife stuck with him and loved him till he died. And that's a decade because she was in love with him. She wasn't in love with what he looked like. She wasn't in love with what he did for a living or his fame or his money. Ultimately, she was like, I love you. And I love you whether you are a 20-year-old, 25-year-old superstar Hollywood actor or you're a 50-year-old quadriplegic. I love you. And that kind of love is not necessarily easy to find, but if you don't look for it, you'll never find it. And so, you know, the one example of a great relationship that I knew was my grandparents, again, my paternal grandparents. And I remember as my first marriage was ending, in fact, I just got hired by Black Enterprise. So my first assignment for Black Enterprise, I had to go to Atlanta to interview these executives for Coca-Cola. And shortly before that, my grandparents had retired to Georgia. And so it was my first time being able to see them as a working professional. So I finished my assignment in Atlanta. I drove to Gainesville, Georgia. And I spent the night at my grandparents' house in the bed I used to sleep in back in when I used to go visit them when I was a kid. So now they're in their 70s and 80s.
Yep.
But they've been together since she was like the late teens and, you know, back in the South in the old days. And I remember sleeping and wake up in the middle of the night. And this is, they don't look like, you know, they're 70, 80 year old. They're not fine and sexy, but they wake up in the middle of the night because he's tickling her and they're giggling and they're playing. And he still was running around to her side of the door to open the car door and say, but then we do this stuff, you know. And he's still calling her honey and baby. And I'm realizing that for him, it wasn't about what she looked like when they first fell in love as teenagers in the peak of their sexual and physical. It was, no, that's my baby.
Yeah.
And just I'm going to love her unconditionally no matter what. That's what I want, that's what I'm striving for in my current relationship, but also I got to be willing to give that. And I could definitely say in my first marriage, I did not give that. You know, I don't know if I could say that about the second two marriages, but in the first marriages, I could always, you know, talk to my first wife and realize that at 27, I mean, we were married for divorced in our 30s. I didn't know how to give that. And so you can't give that or you won't give that. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
You know, don't kid yourself. And that doesn't mean you can't be in a relationship. But if you want a marriage, that I do, I still believe in marriage. I'm not saying I must get married again, but I'm not one of those people like I've done it 3 times and I'm going to do it again. But my new standard is I got to be willing to give myself completely. And then that means I got to take the time to make sure the person can be trusted with me, give myself completely. and then they got to receive it the same way.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. So good. I got a little teary eyed.
Yeah.
Tell the people how they can find you.
On Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. Alfred Edmund Jr., Alfred Edmund Jr. On all social platforms.
Awesome. Thank you.
Exactly.